Okay, I'm going to talk about affirmations now. And I realized a couple of weeks ago that affirmations, the affirmation practice, has theme music. There's actually a theme song. And when I thought of it 2 weeks ago, I thought, how is it possible that I went for so long without realizing it? But then I went on Wikipedia, and I found that I remembered the song perfectly, but I was very curious about who wrote it. In 1944, the great Harold Arlen, great popular music composer, he wrote the music for the Wizard of Oz and, you know, the Judy Garland version of A Star is Born and all kinds of things. He and the great lyricist Johnny Mercer had a hit with a song that had a chorus that went, "You've got to accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative. Latch on to the affirmative, but don't mess with Mr. In Between." And I was thinking about this because, you know, I've often thought that popular songs contain all the wisdom that you ever need to know. It's all there. But I thought Mr. In Between might be samadhi, because it's neither positive nor negative. It just is what it is. So that's the theme. Okay, affirmations are very, they've meant a lot to me. The affirmation practice has meant a lot to me. I am someone that has made something of a fetish of samadhi. I think of it as the, sort of the ring of the Nibelung. It's kind of, you know, it's this golden mysterious elixir that is for the elite and not for ordinary mortals such as myself. And the affirmations have been really very helpful in this way. The backdrop of the affirmations, my understanding, was Ryozen's diagnosis of cancer. Nyogen noticed that Ryozen was going into the negative with it, and so he brought out the whole affirmation practice. At the same time, I had my own particular backdrop with that led up to the affirmations practice, and this was just very briefly. Sometime in December, I think it was, I seemed to fall into this kind of sinkhole of anxiety, which I was thinking about it at a certain point, and it reminded me very much. You know, I don't know what a Laya consciousness is. I'm sort of more conversant with the Freudian term subconscious or unconscious. But this particular feeling that I was going through, and it was more or less continuous underneath the surface during this period, reminded me very much of something that I remember first experiencing when I was about 15 years old. I had my sort of what I considered my first sort of full-blown existential crisis, where just out of the blue, in the middle of the night, I suddenly realized, oh my God, I am completely alone in the universe. And so what am I going to do about it? Kind of feeling. And it stayed with me. And I got through it. And over the years, that feeling sort of recurred several times in my life. And I always got through it. I mean, it just seemed like I got through it. And this happened this past December. And I can remember the exact moment that it happened. I was sitting at home. And all of a sudden, I had this absolutely visceral conviction that I would never know anything about what Nyogen was talking about in terms of practice, in terms of samadhi, in terms of non-distracted awareness, in terms of transcending birth and death, that I was just simply going to, you know, limp my way to the end of my life as this kind of haunted, neurotic person. And it was this deep conviction that I had. And it was attached, again, to this feeling, as I say, that I was quite familiar with from, you know, various times. And in a certain sense, I feel like those words that I just described and those thoughts were kind of incidental. It could have, there almost any number of words could have attached to this feeling that just popped through at this particular time for whatever reason. But those were the words. So in a certain sense, the practice was unavailable to me as a way to sort of soothe myself, except that it wasn't. Because what I noticed was what I was having, these were thoughts I was having about my practice. At those moments when I was able to actually achieve a certain degree of, in Dogen's words, what are Dogen's words? non-thinking. Yeah, that's what it is. there were islands of non-thinking that I was able to grab onto in the midst of all of this. And when I was able to do that, I was fine. But then the thoughts would start up again, and so I'd have to grab on again. And so this was a kind of a difficult period for me. I came in January, I pretended winter ongo was happening, and I came in at 11 o'clock every day for a while and sat by myself and got through this period. You know, it was in this period somewhere, my sequence is not really clear on how things happened, but my memory, I do have a memory that there were three different talks that I heard Nyogen someplace in December, maybe January. Nyogen started to just drop into the, I'm assuming this had to do with the experience with Ryozen. All of a sudden he started saying something about negative thinking and how negative thinking was a very bad habit that we had and we needed to break it somehow. And this just resounded with me so strongly. And I remember three occasions where he just said negative thinking, you know, bad habit, negative thinking. And I remember going in and talking to him and saying, you know, this is so long overdue for me personally, that this habit of mine is poison. And I have been poisoning myself with it for years, and I have to find some way to stop doing it. And then, out of the blue, he introduced the full-on affirmations. And I was kind of open-mouthed at the time. They were like classic Church of Religious Science, Marianne Williams. I love myself. I approve of myself as I am, I forgive myself, on and on like that. And I was just like, wow, this is amazing. And, you know, I went with it because I, you know, if Nyogen had told me, you know, what I think you need to do is three times a day, you know, drink a cup of castor oil, I'd have said, okay. You know, can you find castor oil at Walgreens in the year 2013? Whatever, I'll look for it. But, so I glommed onto the affirmations very quickly. And if you have ever tried to look in the mirror and say, I love myself, you will more than likely say, this is one of the most excruciatingly difficult things you will ever try to do in your life. And I would like to say that it's gotten easier. And in a certain way, it has, simply by sheer habit, but I cannot say that it is still easy. Nonetheless, I still do it because it seemed to me after about a week of doing it, there this kind of fountain of positive energy just rushed through my consciousness one day, and it didn't stay. Of course, nothing ever does. And I sort of vaguely recall Ryozen saying something along the same lines, and I thought, well, you know, that's fine. You know, I will continue to do this in my fashion. And of course, in this period, before the affirmations, I mean, when I talked to Nyogen and Dokusan about this sinkhole of anxiety I was experiencing, because I know Nyogen to be an empathetic and compassionate person, I suspect that he was feeling that toward me. Nonetheless, he did not coddle me in any way in this thing that I was going through, which I think was appropriate. And in fact, there was one fusatsu where in the middle of the talk, out of the blue, Nyogen says, the only person I ever knew who was as crazy as I was is Ishin. And I went, ouch, you know. You know, where did that come from? You know, but afterwards I thought, you know, really there is no substitute for public humiliation sometimes. I mean, it absolutely does the trick the way nothing else does. And the message I took from it that he was saying to me was, you know, it's time to get over it. And I thought, you know, that's good advice. I'm going to see if I can do that. So anyway, the affirmations, I think helped with that. It's hard to say exactly sort of cause and effect in this whole thing, but it seemed to me that that's what happened. Now, I consider Ryozen to be the king of affirmation practice, having heard him speak twice, and I believe Honmei is the queen, based on her groovy little article. I have the impression that both of them work very, you know, systematically with the affirmations. I don't do that way. I do them in a much lighter way. I would, if I had a stopwatch, and I actually timed how much time a day I actually spend with them, I would be shocked if it's a minute and a half total. in the whole time. It's just something that I throw into the mix that, as Nogin says, neutralizes the toxic environment that one sort of habitually carries around. Oh, I did want to say something again. I remember there's this book that Ryozen introduced on the occasion. There was a Saturday when Nogin was in Mexico, and Ryozen talked for the first time about his affirmations, and he mentioned this book and this person, and I went, oh, no. Oh, God, please don't let him have just said Louise Hay. Please, no. And not only was I horrified at hearing her name, but at the same moment, I knew that before the day was over, I would be in possession of that book. And sure enough, I went straight from here to Barnes & Noble at the Grove, and I asked the clerk to please double wrap it in opaque plastic so that no one would see me carrying it around. So anyway, I got it home, and sometimes I feel as though I should put on surgical gloves and tongs to open up the book. I mean, it has so much goofy stuff in it. But having said that, I make myself pick it up occasionally, and I'm always astounded every time I pick it up that something jumps out of the page at me, and I go, oh, I can use that. And I do. She has something there that's for me, and I use it for a while. Sometimes it only works for a while, and then something else comes up. Hogan said something about he used something like, when he goes into work, he said something like, I wonder what's going to happen today. Or maybe he said, I wonder what wonderful thing's going to happen today. Well, I couldn't quite do the wonderful part, so I removed that part from it for myself. And I said, I wonder what's going to happen today. And that's extremely helpful. It's become very helpful to me going into work. But anyway, so Louise Hay. She's good. Thank you, Louise. Let's see, what else do I have to talk about here? I know something else. I remember, there's a person that's been in my life for 41 years. We met in Santa Fe in 1972. He retired back to Santa Fe about 10 years ago, and he's a person I think of as my best friend. We did many sort of spiritual adventures together during the 70s, when I was in my 20s and he was in his 30s. And there was one in particular that I was very serious about. We both were. And I remember asking him at one time, how he dealt with looking and seeing the things in yourself that are really not very pleasant. One of the things that happened to you when you sit or when you do this practice, seriously, you see a lot of things about yourself that are not so lovely. And I asked him how he handled that. And he said, oh, well, I sort of treat myself like I'm my own best friend. And first of all, I thought, that's impossible for me to think of myself as my own best friend. I mean, I would be a very unreliable best friend. It was impossible. I couldn't use that phrase for myself. But this occurred to me very shortly after beginning this practice, where I thought, I am my own best friend. And that works for me. For me, the logic of it is unassailable. I mean, if you are not your own best friend, then who is? I mean, after all, we are on our own, ultimately. And you have to if you think about, if you've ever had a best friend, sometimes you tease, you have the luxury with a best friend of teasing yourself pretty hard and being kind of rough with yourself sometimes, and maybe even a little bit nasty, but you can do it because there is a bedrock of affection and respect, and it's all okay. And that's the spirit of being your own best friend, and that I find that fairly effective. So the question arises for me about this. Does the affirmation practice make my mind more active than it already is? And it occurs to me that probably it does. But what difference does it make? I mean, my mind is already so active that what difference does it make to throw in something else? It's making it active in a positive way. So that's all right. So anyway, that's it. That's it for the affirmations. Thank you. As Hanmei so brilliantly said after Ryozen's first talk, thank you, Ryozen, for your cancer diagnosis. Thank you very much. We are in your debt.